welcome to Podcast Versus Player, episode 273. I'm one of your hosts, Cal, and as always, I'm joined by a man who asked me what's the difference between Facebook creator Mark Zuckerberg and Jean-Luc Picard. Picard didn't sell data. It's true.
I mean, I can't knock that. It's a solid joke.
Danny Bloody Dan. Have we both frozen?
No.
How are you, you little prankster?
I'm good.
Yeah.
Pranking good, as Ashton Kutcher would say.
Punked. That was that show. The Little Devil. Fun fact. I don't know why I was going to say that. Did you see April Fool's Day stuff? As in video game related stuff.
It's the 3rd of April. No, I didn't. I didn't see anything at all.
Well, Nintendo released a video for the new Virtua Boy, which is it's basically an attachment that you put on your Switch and strap your Switch to your face. And it was a very funny advert.
That's pretty good.
But they did it in
The fact that a company could take the piss out of their own peripherals. Yeah. What were we thinking? Bloody hell.
In all fairness, I know it wouldn't have come out on any other day, but if it had been any other day, I could have believed it. Like, it was very well done.
With the whole, you know, they do like a mini NES and a mini Mega Drive.
Yeah.
And you go, fuck it, just do another Virtual Boy. Strap your Switch to your face, Virtual Boy 2. Bang.
It was
the same 12 games that came out for it ever.
Well, I assume it was the woman's husband or something, but he's like shouting at her because she hasn't like done the dishes or something stupid. But then when she puts it on, it turns into Mr. Thingy, Tom Nook from Animal Crossing. She's going, oh, no,
I haven't seen this.
It's really
awesome.
Funny, yeah. She's in a car, and then she looks to the side, and Luigi's there, like staring at her, and then she's like, mwah, mwah, and then crashes. It's very funny. But there was a handful of some. That was probably the best one of the lot. But the game I told you to download, but you just missed it, that was part of an April Fool's thing. It wasn't a prank. It was just they went, rather than do something stupid, have a game for free. Apparently they do something every April 1st is always something different, and this time they gave a game away.
What, Steam?
No, it was the people that made Content Warning. The developers of it. But in doing so, their player base went up from like something that was like reasonably good to like 200 million or something stupid.
Yeah, I'm
like
pretty
that.
Sure when I was looking at something on Steam when I got home, and I think it was on like their top sellers list or something like that. It's on the featured page anyway, so you give a game away for 6 hours or whatever it was, because by the time I got home from work, it had already finished, because it was literally the first thing I did when I sat down. So I don't know when it was started, but presumably it was like a 6-12 hour.
24 hours. But I only saw it when I sent it to you, that's when I saw it.
Right, and that was unfortunately when I was at work.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, I was, but I've got the Steam app on my phone, so I just added it to the library from there. So I suggest you do that. You get that up and running for future ones. But it looks funny enough, Dan. I think I might just buy it because it looks very fun.
Right.
It's I don't know if you did look into anything of it, but you know that game that everyone loves at the moment, Lethal Company.
It's the new Gang Beasts. Not Gang Beasts. The new fucking, what's the Fall Guys?
It's
a thing that everyone goes bananas for. Everyone streams it, and 2 months later, no one's touched it.
To be fair, Lethal Company's kept its player base for quite. I think it's for the duration of however long it's been out. It's stayed very high. But effectively, in that is obviously you go to different planets trying to get different things to like salvage and get money for. Working for the company, and the aliens and stuff pop up here and there. This is kind of the same, but you have to go to places and film each other doing silly things to make content. It looks very funny.
Sounds, Sounds pretty true to life, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's what drew me to it. But it looks pretty good, and it was kind of free, so there's that.
This week's episode of the PvP podcast is brought to you by our two sponsors, Crovy and Nymvardic. Crovy's VF156T 15.6-inch portable touch display is an excellent addition to any setup, whether stationary or on the go. From build quality to the fantastic screen, the included smart case and all the cables, the VF1560 is a brilliant portable touchscreen monitor and for an incredibly affordable price. Whether it's a second screen for your PC or laptop, turning a mobile into a mini PC, or simply using it for gaming, the 15.6-inch IPS display is gorgeous and the touchscreen works flawlessly to ensure you have a fantastic experience with clear viewing angles, crisp display. Plus, it comes with all the connection cables you'll need, as well as a smart case that doubles up as a stand. Check out more via the link in the description. This week's episode of the PvP podcast is brought to you by Nymvardic and their R150 portable projector. The R150 is a premium-looking and feeling projector, but weighs only 720 grams, and it comes complete with a carry case, so you can safely put it in your bag and take it with you. Plus, the 4,800mAh battery will ensure you can use it on the go. It includes custom speakers made by industry veterans Harman Kardon, and it has its own built-in app store with media apps like Netflix and Disney+. You can also stream your iOS or Android device straight to it, letting you watch content up to 100 inches. Check out our full review at podcastversusplayer.com.
But Dan, bigger, fatter, juicy news than all of that combined. You can take your virtual boys and your free games.
If as long as it's not April Fool's nulls.
Nulls? No, there's definitely no nulls.
Good. If it's true nulls, then I want to hear about it.
Yeah, it's full juicy nulls. Mm. Saber Interactive CEO says...
I know them.
You do?
Why do I know them?
You should know them. Very important to us.
Saber. Oh, no.
You do know them, Dan. For a very important reason.
God damn it. All I can think of now is, what's it, Saiban?
Saiban? I'm not sure of.
Who is it that makes, like, it's like Power Rangers games or whatever?
Saban,
that's what I'm thinking of.
No, it's definitely not that. These are the people, Dan, who are making the Knights of the Republic remake.
Oh, right. And then they were put on hiatus.
Nah, so the CEO's come out and said the remake is alive and well. So obviously this was announced in 2021. The long-awaited remake has changed hands multiple times, seemingly stopping development, restarting again, etc., etc. And after 6 years of development has yet to manifest. Fortunately, we have a final, real, concrete update on what's going on. Saber Interactive is still working on it, and according to CEO, is alive and well. That CEO being Matthew Karch, I don't know if that's how you pronounce it, but that's how it's spelled. He confirmed the company took Knights of the Republic with it during its split from the Embracer Group, and that the game is still in active development. However, we've still got no release date. So,
it's at this point, if they're not talking about, you know, it's going to be released within the next couple of years, whatever, like it's well and truly in its developmental stage.
I mean, I don't know.
We're never going to see anything about this in the next couple of years.
I'd like to think, like, this isn't me, like, shitting on game development or anything like that. It's an incredibly hard, complex job and everything else. But if the game's already made, and I assume you've already got an engine that you're going to be building the game on, you just got to remake it, haven't you?
Yeah.
Or the hard...
But it's from the ground up, yeah.
Yeah. And I know that's like... It's not as easy as just going, well, it's already made, make it look pretty. Like, they've got to do everything. They've got to build all the assets, do all the sounds and everything else. But...
I mean, luckily, you don't have to rewrite the story. So you don't have to come up with anything new. But it's all the difficult stuff. Well, that's not say that, again, that's not difficult. But to me, for my brain anyway, it would be easier to write a story and a script and characters, and like that would be a fun part.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, meticulously, like crafting landscapes and vehicles, and like, whilst I'm sure it's probably way more rewarding because you'd be like, yeah, look, I made that and that's going to be in there forever. That's so cool. I wouldn't even begin to know where to start with something like that.
I ain't got a script. I mean, obviously, we're not game developers or designers or anything like that, but the, like you say, I think the fun bit is coming up with that that idea and then seeing it manifest, like, as good as this, hopefully this is amazing, but it's always going to be compared to the original. Whereas
all it has to do is just look better.
Yeah, just be the same game, just look better. Better controls, you don't need better to graphics.
Have 500 new force powers or anything like that. There's already plenty in there. If anything, there's already kind of too many in there because most of them don't get used. The one thing that they will change that will annoy me is the combat system.
I don't know.
And that will wind me up.
What do you reckon it's going to lean more towards, like Fallen Order or something? In that Final Fantasy way?
Yeah, kind of, yeah. So instead of going sort of like, you know, it's you could pause time and have a think about it. You go, well, you know, I can drain life and then attack this guy and then I can throw a grenade over here and then I can do this. I get the feeling it would be a lot more... it's just hit X to... Yeah, to swing your lightsaber or whatever. Well, I hope that's not the case, and I hope that they keep it true to form.
I don't think they will.
It certainly wouldn't surprise me if they changed it all.
I don't think they'll change it based on it was never a turn-based game. It had the elements to it, but even back then, you could play the game by just spamming X or square or circle or whatever. It's still stacked them up, and you perform those moves in the order that you did it, but it kind of played out in real time.
Yeah.
But you could pause it and you could take your time and think about things and everything else. So they've got no reason to change it because you can
and
play
switch
it.
Switch between characters.
Yeah. But you can still do all that playing it however you... If you want to play it as more of a strategy combat game, you can play it that way. But you can also play it without doing any of that. And you could do that in the original.
I think it would be harder to make it in the way that it was than it would be to just have like swing, swing, block, 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 swing, swing, swing. I think that is because it's so much more common these days. It's probably what people are more likely to work with and be used to. And also that means that you'd be digging up an antiquated combat system. Like, you know, there's nothing wrong with like how Jedi Survivor works, other than you're hitting someone with a lightsaber 500 times and they don't die immediately. Other than that, it's pretty solid. Like, there's not really much that you can do wrong with it. It's pretty good, you know. And like the saber combat in like Battlefront. Unless you're going up against a hero, it is just they're dead.
Yeah,
like that. You can just sort of carve through an entire team, you know, if you sort of get a Jedi or a Sith early on. And that works really well as well. And you kind of feel the, you know, oh God, thank God I'm not like crouching behind things. I've got like 40 gadgets to try and keep me alive. Block everything and just reflect it back at them and it just kills them all.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that kind of stuff is really good. But, you know, there was still, like, because there was so much sort of like progression in terms of like, even when you were fighting like a Sith or a Jedi, a lot of it was sort of like you're doing a normal attack, and because it's sort of doing like the D&D roles in the background, so you've got like your own character stat modifiers.
Yeah, like variables and stuff.
Yeah, so like you get like a +2 on this lightsaber, but it, you know, their defense is higher, so you when you swing, they block it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when you do a heavy attack, if it's enough to get past, then it'll hit. And that's what chips their life down like quite a lot. You know, as long as you're landing hits, you can get through them pretty quickly. You're not, you know, carving away at them like an old turkey. I think it would be harder for them to do that. And like most people would just be sort of like, God, what are you doing this? Just do what, like, it's the same with any sort of like open world action fighting game. Just do what they did with Arkham City and Arkham Knight and Arkham Asylum. Just do that. They nailed it. Just do that forever. That's your, that's your bar now. I think it would be a step backwards to do it.
It
but I would feel that it would be breaking half of what I enjoyed about it.
I mean,
because you could plan your moves out, and then you could switch to one of your companions and then plan their next few moves out, and then switch to the other one and plan their next few moves out.
Yeah.
And then when you sort of restart time, everybody does everything at the same time. And whilst I'm still not super, I'm much more used to it, like the combat in Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, remake, the remaster, whatever.
The new one.
No, not the new one.
The new entries.
The new-ish one. Yeah. Like, you know, being able to sort of like, you can pause time and kind of like flick to Tifa or whatever and then kind of cue something up. It's not quite the same, but there's some element of it that's, it's obviously, it's nowhere near the same as the turn-based thing from the original.
Yeah, in Originals.
But that, as like the combat system or the method that they use for this remake, where you can just sort of kind of flip, you know, sort of like you can just sort of like press a button and everything pauses, and then you've got like shortcuts for like, okay, well that's the shortcut for you do a support move. And like you can like, and again, you could do it in the Originals anyway, but you can like program, not program, but you set their, what do you want to do? Do you want to keep them out of the way and they'll snipe in? Or if it's Kreia, say, do you want them to just do heals on everyone and just do buffs and heals? Like, you can kind of preset all of that so you don't need to keep on switching back and doing stuff. If you can do that and it looks as good as something like Final Fantasy VII, that would be fine. But I just don't believe that they can make a game that looks like that that would be 60 hours. Like, it would be the full run. I just don't think they could do it.
If they're going to change something, I'd rather change the combat than the story, the characters, and everything.
Both of them. Yeah,
that's the one thing I think I could get over it quicker. But if they come in and it turns out, hey, it wasn't Darth Revan at all, it's like, well, you've changed too much already. But again, I don't know. I know with Final Fantasy, I'm not even going to try and remember the lead guys on the teams, but they'd already, like, when Kingdom Hearts came out, they'd said that's the combat that they wanted for 7 and 8 and stuff, but obviously technical limitations, they couldn't, which is why they did turn-based. Mm. And I would assume, maybe, that was the same kind of thing with Carter, where...
Maybe, but it's, the thing is, like, there's still RPGs that are made now that still follow that same turn-based...
Because it got a following.
No, I mean, today they still make them.
That's what I mean, yeah, people like it.
It still works, it still holds up, but it's not something that's just a limitation of the technology or the developer's skill, which is definitely not the case. But in some instances, it probably is. It's like, is it easier to program like 500 slight variations of the same fight animation to like have like this cool swinging kicking? Or is it easier to just go... Hiya, and then back minus 46 life or whatever.
Yeah,
that's way easier.
Yeah.
Again, comparatively, I mean, it's not easy at all. But
no, just compared to that all-out fighting system and.
But it's like what they had in the Knights of the Old Republic was kind of a mixture of the two.
Yeah.
So you could still sort of like, you know, plan a couple of moves ahead, but it felt fluid enough. Like, you didn't have to do anything; you could just let them crack on, and they would just chop each other away. But half the fun was like, it was having like sort of like synchronized attacks. So, you know, you'd be throwing a grenade and you'd be electrocuting them and then you'd be doing a force push, and it sort of just does everything in one big go. And that was just really cool. And like, again, with the more powerful that you became and you started some shit in a town, and, you know, the sort of the general bods, they're not as tough as like your soldiers that you would have dealt with, and you can just carve through them like they're nothing. You just force blast, everybody's dead, move on. Force drain, everybody's dead, move on. Like, it was, you felt the growth. And like you say, that I would want to keep. And if you've lost that and you're like Cal and you've got like, you got force push and force pull and you
got
jump
some powers,
that's about it though, and it's just sort of variations of that, then you are kind of missing a trick for like leveling up with like the RPG side of it, which is the part that I enjoyed the most, which was like building your own personal Jedi or Sith and then, you know, exploring that same world.
I think that's the difference though with something like Fallen Order and Survivor, is you can't, not necessarily forgive, but it's okay that Cal hasn't got loads of powers and stuff, because everything is so invested and based around that story, and it's Cal's journey and everything, and the powers are really kind of like on the back seat in that game. It's about everything else going on rather than...
Yeah, to a degree, yeah. It's more platformy rather than...
Yeah, it's... No, go on.
No. I think you're right. I think the... So, again, I don't really want to kind of just keep on comparing it to D&D, but a lot of the combat system seems to be based around those same kind of rules. You know, you've got this incredible like powers list, and like you can put points into it, and you can upgrade it, and you can have, you know, so you've got more force powers or more heal powers or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's a spell book. Like if you're a sorcerer in D&D, you know, you've got your spells, and then there's like different levels and different like, so you know, oh, this is a level 3 one. It's the same ability as your level 1, but it's got 6 times the amount of damage or whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's exactly the same kind of theory.
Yeah.
And that's why it works really well. And something like Fallen Order doesn't have that because it doesn't it doesn't need to. Like you pick someone up and you throw them against a wall. There's not like an enhanced version of that, is there? There's just
You just get it as you go.
But like you can upgrade it to like, so instead of like being able to lift one dude, you could lift 3. Or you could lift a big heavy thing. But it was never like, you know, drain the life. I mean, again, that's more of a Sith power more than anything, but like, you know, drain all the life force out of people.
Even the light side powers in Carter, there's far vast like choice in that than there is in a game like you don't really get to choose. Like you unlock this ability and then you can use points to you can do this. It's the same ability. It's the same ability. It's just either got a slight variation on it, or it's just improved it to like the like lifting or whatever. Like you say, starts off you can lift one person. By the end, you can lift 10 people at a 80-80. But it's still the same power. It's just better. But I don't say we don't know it. All we've literally got is that reveal tease of Revan igniting his saber,
which is nothing.
That's it.
Ultimately.
I mean, we could have made that in the 6 years it's taken to get here.
It still would have looked as good, but yes, we could have probably pulled it off.
Worst news though, Dan. Oh boy, howdy. There's a new Matrix movie in the works. And before you get on your high horse, Dan, I just want to remind you that this is bad news.
What high horse would this be?
I'm joking. none of the Wachowski sisters neither of them are directing it.
So Warner Brothers just said, we don't trust you with this property anymore. We'll get someone else to do it.
Lana is executive producer. But it's
didn't Lana direct Resurrections?
Yep.
Was it Lana?
I'm not sure. It was Lana or Lily, one or the other. One of them did and the other one didn't.
Yeah, because I think it was Lana, because I think Lily didn't come back.
But this will be the first Matrix film not to have a Wachowski in the director chair.
It was Lana.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When
was the last time you watched Resurrection?
I watched it once when it came out. And I will not watch it again.
I've watched it twice, maybe 3 times now. Because it popped up on Amazon Prime, I think. Like, Prime Video. And I was watching it again. Because I'd watched it in the cinema. And came out of it just sort of like... I don't really know what I expected, but I don't think it was that.
I expected more. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, and I don't know if... I don't know if it was just... It was too sort of meta and kind of too self-referential. But, like, there was things within that world or that sort of movie, and I'm sure we would have talked about this when we both watched it, but like, you know, the sort of the humans and the programs like kind of working together and making this new city, and you know, there's still these sort of like outliers, like all of that sort of stuff that's going on in the real world, that was really kind of interesting. And like, you know, going, well, Neo, yeah, we did bring him back, but we've been using him as like, we've just been sort of like keeping him like ticking over in this like weird, he's made the Matrix in the Matrix, and then like his character has come to, like, there's a lot of that where it's just sort of like, you didn't need to do this, really, did you?
The way you explained it is how they explain it.
Yeah,
I did not like it.
Like, they didn't need to, like, if you've got Neo and you've got Trinity and you've got their relationship kind of like growing back, like them sort of like linking back together.
Yeah, finding each other.
Yeah. That would be great. But then you've got a new Morpheus and then you've got a new Agent Smith and then you've got a new Architect. It's like, you don't need to cover this whole ground, I guess.
The
universe that you've built is more interesting than what I saw. But having Jada Pinkett Smith come back as Niobe is like an older, General Niobe. Good call. The new crew was for the most part okay, but again, they didn't really have a huge amount to do. Mm. But the spectacle of it, you might not be able to remember every single line in any of the Matrix films, but I bet you can remember every fucking fight in them.
Majority of them, yeah, 100%.
And like I remember in Resurrections, there's the sort of like the weird remake thing with like new Trinity, who's just sort of like doing all the stuff from the Matrix games, even though it looks exactly like the movies, whatever. But like there's him fighting Agent Smith. There's like a million people that are all trying to like get them when they're on the bike. They're all like throwing themselves off the buildings and stuff. That was kind of cool. And then there's Morpheus and Neo fighting in that dojo.
Yeah.
But again, like I maybe it's just because I've seen like the original Matrix and the other Matrixes so many times that like every fucking punch is like burnt into my brain forever.
I think it's
there wasn't anything special about it. In my personal opinion, anyway.
The only thing that I liked about the last one is visually it's one of the better looking ones because it's the newest one.
Yeah.
But the Matrix seems like, for me personally, I love the Matrix. Like, the first Matrix is definitely in my top favourite films of all time. Not out of the top, but one of. And I never cared for any of the sequels. I don't think any of them are anywhere near as good as the first one, but all three are better than the new one. But
yeah,
the Matrix, for me personally, see, it feels like a... You can put it in the same category as like Terminator or Aliens, where it's a staple of that era, and you go, this is the best thing that's been made in cinema up to this point. And I don't think you can replicate that again with another Matrix film.
Well, look at the Lord of the Rings. So, like, the Lord of the Rings, like, Fellowship and Return and
Tower. I've never watched
them. No, but you're still aware of, the phenomenal feat that it took.
The cultural impact.
Insane amount of impact, that kind of came from that. And they were all sort of, I mean, it's kind of what broke Peter Jackson almost, but, you know, they were kind of, like, made and produced and filmed in a sort of a reasonably kind of short period of time, given how immense they were. And you had The Matrix that came out in 1999. And I think... So they filmed Reloaded and...
Revolutions.
Revolution, I think it is, yeah. They were filmed back-to-back.
Yeah.
Because they literally... One ends and it picks up almost immediately at the start. And then that was in like 2003, 2004 or something. So when they did The Lord of the Rings, obviously, again, that was that sort of... It was like a block in sort of like the early 2000s. And then like 10 years later, they did The Hobbit. And it just doesn't feel the same.
Yeah.
It just, there's something about it. It's like, it is the way it's been shot, but it feels like they're just trying to capitalize on...
It doesn't feel brand.
New. Well, no, but again, it's just not exciting. It's not interesting. It's not the same people that you're already familiar with. Which is ironic, though, because like when you go... Well, if you look at the Terminator franchise, they keep on getting Linda Hamilton, they keep on getting Arnold Schwarzenegger. So you've still got that same kind of link to the films from 40 years ago, but they still can't nail it down again.
Again, it's... I don't know what it is with the term. Like, I don't think it's fundamentally... You're very limited what you can do. You have him in the first one, he's a bad guy. And then the second one, he's the good guy. Well, yeah. we've mixed it up as much as we can, guys.
now it's a female one.
Yeah.
And now it's a hybrid, and now it's like it's just sort of like, well, you're trying to think of the different thing, and then work backwards. Like you're not looking at where could this end this story, where can this go, or like in Genesis, which is I think like Salvation was trying to do something, and it was kind of its own thing, but it's still a bit boring, and it's just not very interesting. But Genesis was just fucking ugh.
Best looking one though.
No, I think I still think
no. It's
Dark
definitely
Fate
not.
Is, no, like there's a lot in it of just sort of like it's the same. It's like the other ones that you know, but it's all different now. It's Sarah Connor who's the cool one. But it's still kind of just a bit shit.
It is, but again, I think. Like, if you took Genesis and Genesis was the first one, that would be really good. Because we haven't had anything like that before, and it's like, oh, this is cool, and blah, blah. And then, might not be the same thing if then Terminator 2 came out when Genesis did. That'd still be the best one, because it's my favourite one. But it's them taking a franchise, and then not doing anything but make it like it's like just like trying to like retain the rights to something. There's no, you can tell with the first Matrix film, it was a case of let's just make the best possible film we can, push the boundaries of what's been done technologically in cinema, and you know, rip off Ghost in the Shell and like just make an entertaining really cool movie. And that's what they did, and they went, oh, this is brilliant, Warner Brothers gave us loads of money, should we do something different? Nah. Let's just make the same films again and again. And that's, I don't know what it is with, it could just be people being too protective over properties, like because of how much we like The Matrix, we're never going to like any new ones as much, just because of how beloved the first one is. Which isn't strictly true, because I prefer Terminator 2 to Terminator 1, but...
And Aliens to Alien.
Yes, yeah.
And Robocop 3 to Robocop.
No. But that's another one, though. How different can you make that?
Well, they did. They tried it. They fucked it up.
That's what I'm saying. You can't. Leave it at that one and just let it be.
But they, like, with the, with Resurrections, it ended with both Neo and Trinity being the one.
Yeah.
And again, like, it ended, the first one ended with Neo, he's a Jesus now, and he can fly and he can stop bullets, and anything that the machines can throw at him is irrelevant. Now we've got two of them. To do what? Like the war is already, the war is still over, really, isn't it?
And even if it's not, who's gonna, like, the machines aren't gonna be able to beat them.
Well, they tried, and we had to broker a peace and just be like, I will stop fucking you over and fanning around with your power source, and we call a truce or whatever. And you know, they've got sort of like a tenuous at best, but you know, it is a piece
still ongoing.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's probably been about a year or so since I've probably watched it.
When it, like I say, when it came out, so I can't even remember when it came out.
No, but I need to go back again. But it's just like I say, the only thing that I think I couldn't enjoy in it is just that there was nothing special about it. There was nothing spectacular. Not that there needs to be, and you don't need to, you know, go, how do we revolutionise?
I think they do, though. Because it's The Matrix.
But no, but it's always been, because it wasn't just, like, you know, the reason that they came up with bullet time, because it was, they had to literally build the sets in order to create that effect. But they haven't built the film around the effect. That's just something they just went, we didn't have to do this. He could have just dodged a bullet, and we could have just had him go, woo. I mean, with one camera.
I mean, John Woo was doing it before The Matrix, but I know what you mean, though.
Yeah. But, and I don't think that you need to build a new way of filming things.
Oh,
no.
I don't mean that. I just mean, like, it's got to be something that makes you go, wow, whether that's story, visual effects, like, whatever it is, there's got to be a wow factor. And the first one had it, but none of the others have had it. For me, personally, none of the others had a wow factor.
No, I disagree. I think that like, not to the same impact of, like, I've watched the original Matrix, like, easily 100 times or so.
Yeah.
But with the other ones, like the robot, like the mechs, like, we're again, they're not sort of like, you know, completely wholly original ideas, yeah, you know, these sort of giant robots or whatever, but, you know, that was great. And then, like, the war in Zion is, like, all these things, there's, like, a million billion squids all flying around whilst there's another fight that's going on in the Matrix that's, like, that's really interesting to me, and that's really cool. But then in this, it's Neil Patrick Harris just sort of trying to keep Keanu Reeves in a weird mental prison of his own making.
I like the idea of his character. I don't like the execution of it and the story elements too, but I like the idea of a character like that. And I like Neil Patrick Harris as well. I thought he was...
Oh, he's very... No, he's again, I don't actor, think... But... no one turned in a bad performance. It's just that you're just getting someone who's pretending to be Agent Smith.
Yeah, don't effectively, yeah.
Just have another agent, or, you know, there's another rogue program or whatever. And then they go, well,
I was going to say, was there a reason he never came back?
I don't know. Like Hugo Weaving, you mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, like Lawrence Fishburne, they never even asked him.
No, I think that was down to the fact that obviously they knew they were going to go for a younger one. But I'd have at least got him back for, I don't know, just so he's in the movie, and then go off and use the newer, younger one after that. But you're getting everyone else back, so
yeah,
it's not like he was a throwaway character.
I don't know. Like, you know, there's a statue of Lawrence Fishburne, but that's it. And then so they got Niobe, they've got Trinity, they've got Neo. They've got the Merovingian. Like, the same dude who played the Merovingian, he's back as a raggedy old bitch. Oh, yeah, that's another thing they do. They sort of, like, he's fighting with, like, a few other... But, again, he hasn't got his Neo power. So, like that fight when in Reloaded, I think it's the second one where he's with the Merovingian, and he's just like, oh, just shoot him. He's just a man. And then they shoot 1,000 bullets at him. And he just stops them all. And then just drops him. And he's like, yeah, okay, he's pretty good, I guess. And then they have that amazing fight. And it's like one of them versus, like, all these, like, super programs. And he just kicks the shit out of all of them. And then it goes straight into, like, a 20-minute car chase. Like, that's spectacular. Yeah. Like, that's, like, they built, like, a mile of motorway, whatever it was, to have, like, these, like, cool... like car, like, you know, there's an agent sort of like trying to fight them on top of the thing, and then, like, he comes flying in and, like, snatches, like, all of that is just so cool. Like, there's nothing in it. It's trying to build on nostalgia that it's not 40 years later.
That's a good point. Yeah,
you know, where you go, oh my god, the hotel from the first one. Oh, that's so cool. It's just like, it's almost like they went, we've still got the sets, so we'll still use the same dojo, and we'll still use the same hotel and all this sort of stuff. And it's just like, you're kind of tying stuff together. It's only been 3 movies. This isn't a Bond franchise when you've had 25 of them, and then there's a reference to someone with a knife in their shoe, and you're like, ah, like that thing from that fucking movie 60 years ago. Well, no way.
That's the thing with, like, the, because of all the threads that have been sewn for, like, the Marvel, like, for the MCU, where you can go in 12 movies time, this is that thing that we mentioned, like, in a few movies ago. You go, oh, yeah, I know what you're on about now. Now that makes sense. But unless you're Zoe, and who had never seen The Matrix, so before we watched the new one, made sure Zoe, we sat down and watched the original trilogy. So by the time we watched the new one, everything's still fresh in Zoe's head. Like, there was stuff in there that she'd go, what's that? I go, oh, fucking no. Because I don't remember. But... I think it's a bad example of nostalgia. I think you hit the nail on the head with that, where because of how popular it is, they expect people to have this feeling that they've probably got because they made it and they created the world and they've got obviously a lot of love for it, but we don't have that feeling.
No, and it's after not cool. The critical response, I would have assumed that they'd be like, well, we took a risk on it and we'll knock it on the head. But unless they say, well, we're having, like, you know, the original kind of like directors that, you know, that made this what it is. George Lucas, we'll have to George Lucas it basically and just say, we need to take this franchise away from you because we don't think that you can carry this on for whatever reason. And if they give it to someone else and say, you've got the property, you've got the characters, you've got the story, you've got the lore, you've got the history, you've got all that sort of stuff that's already been made. All we need you to do now is just take it in a new direction. Whatever that is, that's okay, but you just need to just do something different with it.
Just before we move on, do I want to point out that Warner Brothers would not reveal if Keanu Reeves, Carrie Ann Moss, and other original actors will be returning.
Good.
So
I'd say leave them alone. They've come back. They've done their swan song.
This is another nail in the head, though. Like, if they're not in it, what's the point?
Well, then you go and you do a different Matrix.
But they won't. They'll just remake this without them. So
you
no,
I don't mean you don't make the same movie. I mean you do a different version.
No,
that's, of the Matrix.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So in, like, it's in the world and it's different characters and stuff. But they'll just find a way. So this new person will be the new one. That's what they'd end up doing.
But that's what I mean. You could do a prequel Matrix. So it's the previous version of Neo's Matrix. And you could have that set in more of a future, or, you know, set in a more of a past. And you could still have all the sort of like the, you know, the special effects and the fighting and all that kind of stuff.
But then the failed ones.
This week's episode of the PvP podcast is brought to you by our two sponsors, Crovy and Nymvardic. Crovy's VF156T 15.6-inch portable touch display is an excellent addition to any setup, whether stationary or on the go. From build quality to the fantastic screen, the included smart case and all the cables, the VF1560 is a brilliant portable touchscreen monitor and for an incredibly affordable price. Whether it's a second screen for your PC or laptop, turning a mobile into a mini PC, or simply using it for gaming, the 15.6-inch IPS display is gorgeous and the touchscreen works flawlessly to ensure you have a fantastic experience with clear viewing angles, crisp display. Plus, it comes with all the connection cables you'll need, as well as a smart case that doubles up as a stand. Check out more via the link in the description. This week's episode of the PvP podcast is brought to you by Nymvardic and their R150 portable projector. The R150 is a premium-looking and feeling projector, but weighs only 720 grams, and it comes complete with a carry case, so you can safely put it in your bag and take it with you. Plus, the 4,800mAh battery will ensure you can use it on the go. It includes custom speakers made by industry veterans Harman Kardon, and it has its own built-in app store with media apps like Netflix and Disney+. You can also stream your iOS or Android device straight to it, letting you watch content up to 100 inches. Check out our full review at podcastversusplayer.com.
That's exactly it. Like, there'd be, why isn't this working? This is a paradise. Why is this all falling apart? Even from the machine's point of view, with them trying to say, like, look at the Animatrix, right? That was just...
That's good.
All... That is just people with different ideas all working around the same, ideas. Like, it's... what am I trying to say?
I know, I know what you mean.
They've all seen The Matrix, and they said, you know, you can make your own art style, you do your own thing, and, you know, you create a thing for this universe.
Yeah.
So some of them, they've done it around, you know, how the Robot Rebellion started, like how, you know, the sort of the AI takeover and how all that kind of thing came. And then you've got, you know, someone like other things that tie directly into the movies, like specific characters and what they were doing and that kind of stuff. That is more interesting than just, and here's Neo again.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, I don't want
you did
that
a really
film.
Good job of having a trilogy. He becomes Jesus, he sacrifices himself for peace, then he's dead.
Yeah.
Now you've gone, yeah, but what if he wasn't? And what if he was depressed?
Well, that's effective what it is, and they are expecting people to go, oh, thank God, he's not dead. But then
and he made The Matrix.
Yeah, no, don't like it. Anyway, Dan, my last bit of movie news. Sam Raimi, everyone's favourite, yeah, has said he wants to direct Secret Wars.
Okay.
I'm not.
You're allowed.
No.
You're allowed, Sam Raimi. With the state of things as they're going at the moment, one of the last decent things that we had was Multiverse of Madness and No Way Home.
I still think Guardians. I mean, he had no hand in No Way Home.
No, not No Way Home.
I'm just talking generally speaking.
The only ones of recent release is Doctor Strange and Spider-Man.
Guardians.
But yeah, Guardians probably as well. But to be fair, at that point, that's the third in a row. They know what they're doing with those guys. And they nailed it. but everything else is kind of just sort of like, eh. So I'd rather they go, you did really well. We want you to do sort of more wacky Bruce Campbell stuff. I'm going to have a crack at it, sure. I mean, he's not going to be the new Russo brothers.
He also made Darkman. So.
Darkman's good.
Is it Avengers good?
Liam Neeson screaming in someone's face. Absolutely, it's good.
I think he made the first Amazing Spider-Man as well.
No, he made the first Spider-Man. Sam Raimi. Tobey Maguire Spider-Man.
Yeah, but I'm sure he had a hand in the first Amazing Spider-Man.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. I'm 90. Oh, I didn't know that. Let me have a look. I'm 98% sure on that. Amazing Spider-Man. What did he do? He definitely had something to do with it. Scream Social, directed by Mark Webb. No, he isn't. He hasn't. Sorry. I don't know where I got that from. I tell a lie. I tell a big stinking lie. But he did make Spider-Man 3. So.
True, but it's the curse of the trilogy, though, isn't it?
It is. And studio interference and everything else.
Exactly. But everyone gets involved.
If this was I don't know how to phrase it, but if this was a solo adventure, I'd be more up for it. But I don't think he'd be able to tie in all the stuff that's going to be needed to be tied in. This is a Russo affair for me.
I don't know, because Multiverse of Madness, you still had a lot of different characters that had never been in that universe before that all popped up.
They had no multiverses, though.
Well, there was two.
They did that in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But
No one knows. They didn't.
But do you know what I mean? I think Sam Raimi's good for the Spider-Man, where it's just telling a tale about this person that happens to have branching characters, not telling a story. He might do a real good job. Can't say.
Rather than just another unknown that kind of comes in, he's come in, he's done one, he's experienced in general anyway in terms of movie making. And I don't dislike that film at all. I really like it. So to have him come in and just sort of do not an Infinity War level Secret Wars, but oh my God, that was actually really good. I enjoyed that. Mm. That's all I'm hoping for these days with the MCU, because it's not good, is it, Callum?
I mean, it's not great. It's not shit.
We're getting there.
But it's not DC. So...
No, that's true.
But that might not be the case for much longer. Obviously, James Gunn taking the helm and got some promising things on the horizon.
Superman Legacy, is it?
No, it's just called Superman now. They released a picture of the suit, a close-up of the chest.
I was going to say, I think I saw a close-up of the S, yeah.
And they've changed, that day was when they changed it from that just to Superman.
Well, isn't Nicholas Holt Lex Luthor?
He is. He was on Mr. Rosenbaum's Insider You podcast.
Oh, was he?
So a few episodes ago, yeah.
Why have they not got Michael Rosenbaum to come back and do some stuff?
Well, there's a funny thing on it. Like, I assume, obviously, at some point you listen to it because I know you listen to that podcast. But
I do. He does some really, really interesting interviews.
There's a funny bit in it where he's like, obviously, Nicholas Holt is obviously, he's saying to, I was going to say he was saying to Lex, but he's saying to him, like, obviously, because I grew up watching Smallville, you're my Lex Luthor.
That's pretty true, I'd say. Yeah. Like, it's not Gene Hackman. It's not. It's not Kevin Spacey. Boo, Kevin Spacey. there's the guy from Two and a Half Men, who's the Lex Luthor in Supergirl, or
Charlie Sheen.
No, the other one.
What? Alan.
Yeah.
Really.
I'm pretty sure it is. Yeah.
I don't see him as a Lex Luthor. That's crazy.
Let me see if I can find your little picture. I haven't watched Supergirl enough, like far enough along.
I've seen like three episodes, so I couldn't say. But why?
It's like, because I'm pretty sure he gets the suit, like the enormous mech suit. Giant robot suit, but like an actual mech suit, yeah.
Like the Iron Man suit.
Like the green and purple that sort of stuff.
Why are you looking for that? he's saying, because there's a poster behind him. That Gene Hackman signed, and he's like, yes. But like, read what it says, and he was like, to the second best Lex Luthor. Well, yeah, it's a good episode though. It's well worth watching. But he's shaving his head and everything, so he's going whole hog.
I mean, good, frankly. Mm. Like, well, I mean, Jesse Eisenberg, that's the other one I was trying to think of. But no, that's the point. It's like the fact that it took that long to bloody remember it means that I did forget all about that one. John Cryer, Lex Luthor.
That's crazy. Him. Is he all right? Or
I think I've seen like one sort of like clip of him just screaming at someone. And I was just sort of like, oh, okay.
Is he?
Apparently, he's Lex Luthor in Arrow and The Flash and Legends of Tomorrow as well. So it makes sense that he's the.
I don't remember Lex Luthor showing up in any of them. But it could,
again,
it could have been
those.
Could have been after we stopped watching.
Late.
Could have, it's definitely.
Well, it would have been Crisis on Infinite Earths, wouldn't it? Because there's no reason that Lex Luthor would have been with Oliver Queen in the Arrowverse. There's no super people in that, was there?
Super.
It was only after the. it was only after the Flashpoint thing, wasn't it?
I don't know, because they just cast them as metas, weren't they? So the meta people, like Star Labs and that.
Yeah, but
there wasn't a
Superman. So if there's no Superman, there's no Lex Luthor, is there?
I mean, there'll still be a Lex Luthor, but he might not be as full evil as his good counterpart, isn't it? Like it's his foil. But I would assume like he's still like a shrewd businessman going about bullying people.
Potentially, I mean, maybe there was like a Luthor Corp, Lex Corp. Business or something like that, or you know, there's usually like a Luthor. There's like four Luthers that are in Supergirl before he shows up. Anyway, I'm trying to find. I'm sure I've seen him in the.
I just can't see him as Lex Luthor. Like, oh, he's just like the weedy guy in Two and a Half Men.
He does look the part. I'll give him that. I haven't seen him actually play it, like I say, so I can't really go like, oh my god, he's the one.
That's crazy. Doesn't look like him though.
Have you seen it?
Yeah, I'm just looking at him now.
Yeah, I was trying to. I'm sure that there's a bit where he's in a suit.
The picture that I'm looking at, he's got a massive head.
Well, that's the thing. Like once he's shaved it all off, like you've got to have a beard, otherwise you are just a giant face, aren't you?
Yeah, it's just like a big egg,
No, I can't find him with the suit. So maybe I've imagined that, but I could have sworn that I'd saw him.
I have got a picture of him in the suit, but I don't know if it's real.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, I can't trust anything on the bloody internet these days, can you?
It is unlikely. It looks very Power Ranger-esque if it is.
Yeah, because that's what I mean. It's not like a huge, like, Hulkbuster level giant suit. It's just... you sent me a thing. No, that is legit. Yeah. Oh, that does look a bit gross, actually.
Yeah.
I'm sure I've only seen it from like the shoulders down. I don't like that.
There is one with the helmet as well.
Like, either way,
T-visor.
I'm, Yeah. I can't knock his performance. I can't say anything about his performance as Lex because I haven't seen him. But either way, even if I had, I think you're probably right. I think Rosenbaum would probably be, like, if I was thinking Lex Luthor, that's probably the first person that would pop to brain.
He's always at the top of the list. But that's also, that is down to, like, he did stand-up comedy for a little bit after Smallville and stuff. And
no way.
I've not followed him all through the years, but since the rise of social media, he's always been somebody that I follow, whether it's on Instagram or Twitter or whatever. So he's not really left my the idea of him being Lex Luthor has never really left me. Gene Hackman's obviously would have been one of my first, would have been the first Lex Luthor. But I think Rosenbaum was an excellent Lex Luthor. I think he's a really good actor. I think he looked the part, and he could pull off the full bald head. And there's a particular scene in an episode of Smallville. I can't remember what it is, but he gets two guns, and he's holding, when he grabs them, his arms crossed. I was like, he'd be a really good hitman. But yeah, I think he's really good. I don't think he'll ever come back in any form to do it, unless it was like a Crisis on Infinite Earth crossover thing where...
I'm sure they would have probably asked him. I mean, they got Tom Welling back, didn't they?
Yeah, again, he's been on Inside of You numerous times, so I assume he was asked and he's declined, maybe, I don't know.
Or, as neither of us have watched it, he was asked and he is in it.
Who knows? Who knows?
No idea.
No idea.
One ever watched it.
So. I don't think Tom Welling watched it.
They just put him in a flannel shirt, filmed him for a couple of days, and said, we'll stick it in there somewhere.
The question is, though, Dan, do you think that Nicholas Holt will be a better Lex Luthor than he is a Beast?
Yes.
100%.
Absolutely. Absolutely he will do.
He's a real bad Beast.
I do want to say, have you seen Renfield yet, by the way?
Yeah, I watched it ages ago.
Yeah, he's really good in Renfield.
Yeah, he's a good actor.
He is, and like him in The Menu and him in Renfield kind of turned me around on him a little bit, because I was just sort of like, I think I was just sort of like, you're not Kelsey Grammer, so stop being in things that Kelsey Grammer was in first, because you're not that good, so shut up. But watching him in Renfield, I was like, you're kind of funny in this. Like, you're holding your own against Nick Cage. Like, not many people could do that. That's really good.
Very few people could do that.
Yeah. So I've just never seen him as a bad guy, though. And I don't think he'd do like a sort of like a neurotic, twitchy Jesse Eisenberg sort of like...
Hopefully,
blah, blah, blah.
Hopefully not.
Yeah. But is he scary enough to sort of like stare down a Superman and just be like, you're the worst?
This is again why my biggest negative without seeing the film, like, this is basically going to be Smallville the movie, effectively.
Fingers crossed, mate.
But
because I don't want another. It's Zod again. He's Brainiac in the first film.
They've already said it's focusing on a young Superman getting accustomed to his powers and being on Earth.
Yeah,
and
just let him do. Like, let's see a, you know, stopping some general crimes. And he doesn't really know. He's a bit clumsy. He's flying too fast, or he punches someone through a wall and really hurts him. Yeah. It's like, shit. Okay, well, I need to pull my.
I need to dial this back a bit more. Like,
and yeah, exactly.
I mean, that'd be really interesting, but I can see he'd definitely lose. But if Tom Welling and Rosenbaum squared off in Smallville and go, Lex is a pretty scary guy. I don't see that.
He's got all of his secret plans and he's fucking kryptonite. You don't really know exactly what he knows, but does he know everything?
That's the beauty of it. I don't know if whether that was how it was written or whether that's just how he played it. But he's the only Lex Luthor where you don't know if he's being genuine, you don't know what he knows, you don't know if he's got any contingency plans or anything like that. He's Lex Luthor. And none of the other ones, like Gene Hackman and everyone else included, none of the other ones had that. I suppose the animated series did, but fundamentally you go, this is a bad guy. Because he was the bad guy in it. But I don't know whether Nicholas Holt will be believable in that same level of Lex Luthor. Might, but could be completely wrong, but...
Maybe. I just can't see him as like, I don't, again, it depends. Like, it's, Lex is something that's in the Joker in that same kind of vein. Is like, it depends on who writes him. He can be a very cold, calculated businessman, very shrewd. Or he can be a kryptonite, steroid-injecting maniac, you know, who wants to just destroy the world and everyone in it. And it depends on what kind of... Do they want him to be, like, screaming Kevin Spacey, wrong! Like, they do they want him doing that? Or is he, you know, is he a far more, you know, he's far more shrewd and he doesn't need to be... Like, again... That the Jesse Eisenberg one was kind of that, but with the weird sort of like, he's literally insane.
I think if you took that out, he'd be good.
I agree. And I think if you just sort of like, he's just like, well, I found out who your mom is. Mm. And, you know, you can threaten me as much as you want to, but unless you do exactly what I say, she's going to get a fucking flamethrower.
Yeah.
Right in the jacksie. That's what's going to happen. And then he has to turn to that and be like, apparently, for some reason, I can't do two things at once. I can't. I mean, even though you could technically throw him off the top of that building and fly to where your mom is and smash through there and kill everyone in that room because you're a killer and rescue your mom and take her back to Smallville and then catch him before he hits the ground.
Yeah.
You're Superman. You can definitely do that. But apparently, you can't do that. So you need to get Batman's help or whatever. Sure, that makes somewhat more sense than...
Yeah, but
what
then
they kind of did with it.
We wouldn't have got the warehouse scene.
You would have. It would have just been, and everyone would have just been paced against the walls.
Which arguably could be as good.
No, I'd agree. I want to see an Injustice. Well, like, do that. Like, you know, rather than the Paragon of Good, I want to see the Injustice one. I want to see the Dark Side Superman.
Well, that's what we would have seen if they'd have done the, like, the dystopian horror future thing.
And that was the most interesting. It was like, what is that going to be? And then actually, should we just knock it all on the head and do a really terrible Flash movie?
I'd have rather all of the Snyder movies was just that sequence, and then it end like the last one was like all of the films are just based within that universe, and then the last one ends with the scene from thingy where Bruce wakes up after he's had the dream. And he's like, oh, God. And then...
I can't believe that almost happened.
Yeah. Like, I'd be fine with it. It's a real fucking shitty ending, but I'd be okay with it. Because then it explains all the things and go, oh...
Well, it would wrap it up rather than just being like in a big empty hole, which is what
exactly.
it is now.
So as long as they don't let that happen, everything's gravy.
Because I'm assuming that they're going to have to do... the, like, so we've... Have you seen Aquaman 2 yet?
I still haven't, no. No.
Me either. So... The last one I watched, I think, was
I've watched the first one twice, if that counts.
But that means that there's the... I mean, Peacemaker is probably the last thing that I saw that was sort of like canonical in terms of like, this is whereabouts we're up to in time.
And that had the Justice League in it.
Well, a couple of them.
Silhouettes and shit.
But that means that either Aquaman 2 has to wrap the entire DC universe up and go, Batman died, and then Wonder Woman died, and Superman died, but I've got my brother, and the world is saved, or something. Because, like, obviously, Joker, nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
The Batman, nothing to do with it. Joker 2, which I think we get the trailer for in, like, 9 days, I think it is, or it's like the 9th of April. I think we get the first trailer, so quite looking forward to that. The Batman 2, which, again, will be nothing to do with it. Nope.
Penguin,
but that's a part of the Batman thing. But that means that this Superman, whatever you want to call it, that is unlikely to be related to Joker or Batman. That'll be its own.
No, but yeah, it's its own thing.
Which means that there's no definitive end to what we've seen so far. It's just stopped.
I suppose depending on how Aquaman ends. Like, I don't know.
But that's what I mean. There could be something where they set up a new thing, or they're tying it in, or the new guy Superman arrives. I have literally no idea. Suicide Squad as well. I'd rather that they get Robert Pattinson's Batman with that Suicide Squad. Like, that juxtaposition would be amazing.
I don't know. I don't reckon Pattinson has signed on for that. I reckon he said yes to it is because it is this contained thing. It's nothing to do with any of these big showy fancy.
No, I want John Cena in pants and a helmet dancing around him and him just going, oh, I hate this. I hate everything about this.
I think it'd be really funny, but I really
just
don't
watching him
see
just
it.
Pummel the fuck out of someone and they're like, oh my God, bloody hell, you're serious, aren't you? Jeez.
Well, I mean, in that respect, but that's a good example, though, of the young Superman where this Batman, like, Pattinson's Batman's still learning and, like, he's done things that he not necessarily regrets, but
he's loving every minute of it.
No,
it's not
but
a single thing where he was like, shouldn't have gone as hard on that guy as I did.
No, but there'll be
should have broken his collarbone as well.
There'll be certain bits in it where, and you could tie this back to vaguely like what Snyder's ramblings on the Joe Rogan podcast last month or something, where his reasoning for why the Batman no killing rule is stupid, and like I do agree with what he's saying. I just didn't agree with the way that he did it. But all of the Batmans have killed every single one of them,
apart from Robert Pattinson's Batman. I don't think he killed anyone, did he?
I'm including like Batmobile crashes and explosions and everything else. So like indirect deaths. And
indirect
and Pattinson's I'm not sure of. I'll be very honest.
Yeah. Maybe he's in the presence of, or he gets him being involved leads to someone being killed. But does he outright put a bomb in someone's trousers and kick him in a hole? No.
Alan Michael
Does he set
Keaton.
Them on fire? No.
Michael Keaton.
Yeah. Does he machine gun a whole car of dudes? No. Like, well, he beats them very badly and he'll throw you off a... I mean, like, potentially, like, some of the Joker henchmen, the Riddler henchmen, sort of, like, doing sniping and stuff like that. But the majority of them, like, he's tying them up and then whipping them off the edge and they're just all sort of...
Dangle.
Just hung there.
Yeah. And so I'd say he's probably the only one that hasn't, maybe.
He's also the only one that really seems to be shown to helping anybody.
Yeah. I mean, especially, well, the ending's a massive thingy of that.
There's no sort of like, you know, not again, you know, sort of like stopping muggings or whatever. He's got the Batmobile. Like, he's above street crime.
Yeah, yeah.
But you just never, like, he's always just, it's him taking out bad guys, but it's never just doing what they should be doing with the Superman, which is just talking someone off a ledge.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, just giving someone a shoulder to cry on, giving someone an outlet that they can just vent at, you know.
Yeah, like, that's something that, there's not many Batman... in any medium, they don't really touch on that. Especially in video games, I don't want it because I'm not playing a Batman game for that. But like, Batman's a hero in lots of different ways, in ways that Superman can't be. Like, Superman is above like petty street crimes and stuff. He still obviously does what he can, but he is going to be off doing things in space and all around the world and everything else. And that, it's not a good film. But the Brandon Routh Superman, I think the opening of that film is one of the best Superman openers.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Like, with the plane and...
Yeah.
The bullet
stopping in his eye and stuff and...
Like, him just sort of, like,
around
doing
the world.
Superman stuff. That's probably... Yeah, that's a really good chair, actually. I didn't even think of that. But, like, in the sort of, like, the Christopher Reeves films. But it's the 70s, it's the 80s, you know.
Yeah. Constraints.
They don't have the budget to fly in space. When they do, it looks awful. I'm talking Superman 4, obviously. Yeah. But, like, you know, he is saving cats out of trees, and he is, like, doing general, you know, haha, stop thief.
Yeah.
He's doing all of that. But with modern audiences, if you had a new Superman film, after what we've seen in, like, Man of Steel and, you know, the Justice League films and all that,
yeah,
you know, zipping around and smashing through buildings and blowing up planets and whatever, and it's just him... You know, sort of like, oh, I don't know if this cape really works on me. You know, just sort of, and then it's just sort of like, how do I, like in Homecoming, like Spider-Man, where he's just sort of like, you better stop that, activating, intimidating voice, because he doesn't really know what he's doing yet.
Yeah, yeah.
Does he play the hard man, and does he, you know, sort of like dangle someone off a bridge and be like, stop doing crimes, or you know, does he? You know, why are you doing this? Like, is there anything I can do to help? You know, your family's starving. I can try and sort you out. Like, what do you need? Like, that is always what I picture rather than just, oh, here's Lex Luthor in a fucking kryptonite suit again.
Not again.
Here's Metallo again. Like, actually, no, do you know what? I'd like to see Metallo in live action. That'd be a good one.
Have we ever had a Metallo in live action?
Only in Smallville.
That's the only one I can think of.
Presumably, he's been in Supergirl. I'm not sure if he's been in, like, Lois and Clark.
Did you finish that?
I didn't, no. Mm. I genuinely meant to.
Because you was quite frequent with it, wasn't you?
Yeah, I do need to get back into it, to be fair, because it was better than I thought it was going to be. But I am excited for this new Superman, because I just, if anything, I just want to see, is this going to be a more lighthearted, not like Shazam where it's like, hey, jokes, kids and whatever. But it's going to be like, not everything serious, it's okay. Like, you know, we can have a bit of a laugh and a joke without forcing it at the end, like, ha ha ha, oh my god, the world nearly ended. Yeah. Oh. Credits.
I think it'll be like a less gross Suicide. I mean, it's gun, so there's going to be comedy in it. He can't not. But maybe it's not. Maybe Superman isn't. Maybe he's the straight man in it, and it's the other people that bring the comedy to it. Kind of like.
Although I would like
Jimmy Olsen.
I would like to see him like knocking on someone's door, and then they roll down the window, and he goes, "Get out the fucking car." He's got an F-bomb in one of them. All he has to do is he just does it the other way around. So instead of someone getting in a car, someone getting out of a car, and you're like, ha, Guardians.
This way, though, I mean, it's his call. He's the CEO now, so...
Yeah. We either go super serious and F-bomb it all up, or it's wacky shenanigans.
That was really funny. I'll give him props for that.
Yeah.
It was very funny.
It really is.
But I'm looking forward to it. I'm apprehensive, as always, with anything DC movie-related. Very big potential to be a bag of shit, but hopefully not. However, with Gunn's track record, like Suicide Squad was really good. The James Gunn Suicide Squad.
The Suicide
obviously.
Squad, yeah.
That was, I really enjoyed that. Peacemaker,
yeah, I really
enjoyed. Guardians, mm-hmm. really enjoyed. So he's got a pretty good track record in the superhero comic book movie genre. How well he does that and controls the DC movie enterprise, TV shows and everything
maybe
else.
Maybe that's why it's more sensible that he just goes, everything that's come out so far, it's done.
I'm pretty sure that is what
he said. And that's what I agree with. I mean, again, it's sort of, when you're a cinema goer, it's just sort of like, so we've just given up on all of that, haven't
yeah.
we? So I didn't need to watch any of those. That doesn't count for anything.
So why do we need to watch all of these?
Kinda, yeah. But it would be easier to just go, fuck it, just bin them, knock it all on the head. We've got the Joker thing, that's doing really well on its yeah. own. We've got the Batman, that's doing really well on its own. I'll start a brand new thing, and we won't try and think of a way. Okay, oh, it's magic, and it's a different suit. Just go, no, fuck all of that. We're starting again, and I'll bloody show you how it's done.
I don't think it helps that he said he'd like Margot Robbie to come back as Harley or a different character.
Stop banging on about fucking
and,
Harley Quinn.
I think potentially Jason Momoa and oh my god, I forgot her name, Wonder Woman.
Gal Gadot.
Yes, and her as well. He's like, well, if you're bringing back like 40% of the original cast, so
don't bother.
Just
like,
start afresh.
Yeah, do Plastic Man. Like, go, we can make this a visually spectacular, you know, a guy who can turn himself into anything, who's an absolute wanker, but,
yeah.
you know, he's incredibly useful, you know, and get Zatanna in there so you got some magic, and get a Green Lantern in for once.
Yeah. Just any. Pick one.
You do a new Superman, he's going to be your linchpin, and then you build all these other characters. So you get Red Tornado and get the Titans, maybe, you know,
yeah.
get a cyborg, like, well, maybe they've done cyborg a bit too much, but maybe Green Arrow.
Is anyone that
someone that's more grounded, you know, and speedy or whatever? And he's like, maybe I need to get
problem with
well.
Teen Titans is though that means we've already got an established Batman with an established Robin.
No, that's what I mean. Like, it's that wouldn't work unless you've got Batman in that. In which case, like, I can't see Robert Pattinson's Batman having a Robin. What kind of fucking psychopath child would that
but
be?
But even if he did, how young's that kid gonna be like?
But that's the thing, you'd have to play it right then, and it would have to be like a 12-year-old.
Yeah, it'd have to be like the appropriate age gap between Batman and Robin. And Pattinson's what? I know he's like our age in real life, but this is year one Batman, so he's gonna be like 20s.
Late 20s, yeah. Yeah.
So Robin would have to be like between 8 and 12.
So. But that would be really good, because then rather it's just sort of like, you know, it's all like, haha, Robin, you know, quips and whatever.
What if they got Jacob from Twilight? You know, like Chris O'Donnell was like 30 when Batman and Robin came out.
Yeah, yeah.
But they just get the guy who played Jacob in Twilight to do it.
Oh, so you've got some sort of tenuous link.
Yeah.
Like, well, you're technically the same age, but you're supposed to be 12. Sure. But I reckon if you did that and you just had him as like a... You could still have him with like his circus background, but, you know, he's more like an MMA fighter. So he's like... He's street brawling, kind of. He's that sort of level of threat.
Maybe,
so kind
yeah.
of like with the, you know, the Robin in Titans.
Titans.
When he's still Robin and he's wailing on people. Like, that ferocity in, like, a kid would be fucking weird to see. But I reckon that would be like, oh, this Robin's not dicking around. Like, this is a Robin that you want to see a bit more of, yeah.
The only downside to that is how they'd have to be real careful how they did it. Because they've still got to keep those elements of, assuming it would be Dick Grayson. Like, Dick Grayson was always the level-headed one of the Robins and the next best thing to Batman by the end. But obviously, the anger, and there's we've already got a Robin that's got that anger in them. And
true, but if he starts to see too much of himself, then that's when he has his own awakening. It's like, you're a kid, you shouldn't be this angry. Like, it's him trying to pull him up to his level rather than leaving him where he was.
Yeah.
I think you could absolutely do that.
I think it'd be really good. Yeah.
And do it well.
Who would you have? Any up-and-coming kid actors you think could do a good job?
It's a good question. Not that spring to mind.
About Dewey from Malcolm in the Middle. What's he doing these days?
He'll be about 43 at this point.
Yeah, but I bet he looks the same age.
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. I don't know if there's any sort of like big shows with, you know, serious kid actors that could pull something like that off.
I'll say just completely, totally random. I was watching Modern Family yesterday, and Kelsey Grammer was popped up in it. Just because we mentioned Kelsey Grammer earlier. He's Cameron's ex.
I don't remember that.
Oh, he's it. I mean, obviously you finished Modern Family, haven't you? So you will have seen it, but
oh, for sure.
The Cameron's got a pig that he's gonna, like, he's meant to be cooking, so he's fucked it up somehow. So they do use this delivery service that will bring this other pig over, and he recognizes the voice, and he's like, "This is the guy." Like, he left him. Like, just disappeared and didn't say anything. And then when the guy shows up, it's Kelsey Grammer. I was like, fucking hell, you dirty dog.
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
No way.
It was a funny episode, but...
Well, like, I was watching it the other day, and one of Mitchell's exes was in it. It's Fred Armisen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's, like, Steve Merchant's in that episode as well.
He's in the... that's at the, like, the hotel place, isn't it?
The casino.
And he thinks Phil's wife is the big dog thing.
It's just like in the bath. Yeah, okay, that's fine.
That's a really good impression, isn't it?
Thank you.
I know, like, when he's put him in the closet, and then Gloria comes out of it and like,
oh yeah, because Patton Oswalt's there as well. It's like, oh my god, what an incredible trick. Like, that as that episode as a bottle episode, like, because it's like a Scooby Doo. They just keep going into each other's
people
rooms,
like,
and just
close the door, or someone else comes out.
Oh, it's so funny. That's honestly, that is such a good fucking episode. That is.
There's loads of really good, like, this. I mean, it's a reasonably older one, but it's the one when Cameron thinks Phil's sexy, because it's like he's had, like, he nearly crashed in the car, and then Phil's just getting really assertive and, like, doing all the things that he wants to do. And then they're going to get, I think it's the washing machine for Mitchell and Cameron. And like, he's got his shirt off and he's like trying to like lug it onto the thing. It's just, I don't know why, but everything, how that episode sets up is just so well written. So funny. Yeah, yeah. Loads of good ones though. I'm on, because I still, even though I made you watch it, I've still never finished Modern Family.
Like, I can't believe that.
Honestly, I mean, I've got to, like,
I'm on a second full rewatch at the moment.
Well, I was watching it just out of sync here and there and everywhere when it was like back when it used to like be on weekly on Sky One or whatever, and then just started watching it again randomly, stopped, started watching it again randomly, stopped, and then Zoe was already watching it and I was just catching episodes here and there, and then obviously you were down and we watched it, and then because you started watching it, I went back to the beginning and just started watching it again, and then stopped for whatever reason, but I didn't go back. I've just carried on. So I think I've got like two seasons left. I'm at ones but I'm only now getting to ones where I've never seen before.
Right.
So it's still funny for me that way, but it's such a funny, well-written show. I mean, there's so many, might have to cut some of this bit, but like when they're out for dinner and everything Cam says upsets someone. Now, I'm not going to go into the what's but like, they are such good jokes. I don't think you could get away in a show now if it just started, like, because some of them are reasonably offensive, but it's so well written.
I'm gay. No, you're not.
Yeah, you're confused.
You're confused. You're like, no, sorry, no.
I hear it now. I hear it.
It's so good.
Like, if everyone just went back to where they came from, everyone would be happier. So good. Right, but Zoe says every time Cam does something like overly gay, she's like, it's hard to believe that in real life Mitchell is gay and he's not.
Like, yeah, it's crazy.
He's such a good gay person. But honestly, it's such a good show. And again, it's another example of good child actors where all of the kids,
they've literally grown up.
I mean, Lily changed some point in, it's a different person. Like when they first get Lily, it's a different girl altogether. And obviously they kept the same one after, but Phil and Claire's kids have obviously started it, and Manny, and they were good then, and obviously they've just gotten better as actors as the seasons have gone on. Lily's got, I think Lily's always had really good delivery. Even like when she first starts speaking. Really?
I fucking hate her.
Really?
I think she is the worst part of that fucking show.
Oh, man.
Every line, while some of them are funny, it's just, it's like, yeah, you've just told a kid to say that. Like, it's not, there's nothing natural about it. And even, and again, I'm not going to say, you know, she's a terrible actor because she's a kid. But even when she's sort of like in her teenage years, or when she's surpassing the point of like when the other kids,
I haven't got there yet,
when they first started, it's just like you're not to their level. And I know that you've kind of grown up as a kid and you've probably been forced into this by your parents or whatever, but nothing, like there's no sort of like, oh my god, she's so funny, isn't she? Like, she's not.
No, I mean, like, that's like, that level's reserved for Phil and for Cam and the better actors
also
on the show.
I'll tell you what, one of the things that I noticed the other day, that there's so much sort of like physical, like slapstick that goes on in it, that I don't think, like, a lot of it just doesn't seem intentional, or it didn't seem planned. Like, there's a bit where
probably not.
Like, Luke is like, he has to make like a device that you can drop an egg from a single story and it'll survive. And he drops it and it lands on Claire's head. And she goes down to the floor so fucking hard. And it's not like a cut and then she's on the floor. Like, she just goes bang! And then like the camera just pans down and she's just sort of covered in egg, just like, for fuck's sake. And like, she's like, I've seen her like slide downstairs and stuff. So either, like, and Phil does the same a lot as well, where he goes down like onto the floor like real hard. And it's like, either they've choreographed this and they've worked it so well that it looks like they're like really going down to the floor hard.
Yeah, yeah.
Or they weren't meant to. That's just what happened.
And they just kept or it they, in, yeah.
Yeah, or they, you know, they're like trained stunt performers, I guess, and just be like, you know, they know how to fall over properly. But some of it, it just looks so fucking good. Like when they just like slip over a thing and go down hard. It's just like, I kind of just believe that you just legit fell over then. Like probably really hurt yourself.
I can't imagine Modern Family is, I could be way wrong here, but I can't imagine it's a show where they've got stunt performers because they don't do anything out of everyday life stuff.
Racing or whatever.
No. So like the odds are, if they've gone down and it looks dead believable, they probably did fall.
I think you're probably right, because it looks... But then they just keep playing to it as well.
Yeah.
Like I say, or they're just very, very, very skilled at it, and they can take the hit and they can get back up and it'd still be funny without going, oh, fuck, I think I broke my leg.
I think Phil should be in more things, though.
What's his name? Ty Burrell.
Ty Burrell, yeah. He is honestly, in the MCU, but... Very minor role.
Oh yeah, isn't he?
He's in Incredible Hulk.
Yeah, he's fucking Betty's.
Yeah.
New fella or whatever.
Yeah, the new boyfriend. Yeah.
I think the only other thing I've seen him in, other than that, is when he's the Nazi in that Key and Peele sketch.
Oh shit! Yeah.
Like. He's really fucking funny in that. And there's some really good outtakes of that sketch as well. With him.
I've not seen the outtakes, but I think he's just a naturally very funny person. But he might be in shitloads of stuff that I've just never seen. But
you're probably right. He could be in like a bunch of like American sitcom-y stuff. I'll tell you what, he would have fucking shone in The Office.
He'd have been like a good kind of addition,
like,
yeah.
Like reactions to camera and stuff like that. I reckon he would have fucking crushed.
Would you have had him as a Michael Scott or as
No, he would have been a good sort of like Kevin.
Yeah.
Sort of like a bit of a bumbling idiot. Like a lovable bumbling idiot. He would have been good that.
How about what if we have him as like the new Doctor Doom?
No.
Because
I'd be expecting him to just crack a joke. Every 20 seconds or so. Tell you what he would work as, though. Like a good Herman Munster.
Didn't we have a didn't we have a remake of The Munsters?
Well, no, there was a Rob Zombie one that looked absolute dog shit.
I'm sure we did.
No, it was a remake, but it was Rob Zombie. And I'm pretty sure, I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure it was panned.
I mean, it makes sense.
4.5 stars out of 10 it's on Rotten Tomatoes, I think. No, on Rotten Tomatoes, on IMDb.
The original came out in 1964.
Yikes.
Rob Zombie, yeah, he was. That is the one I was thinking of, but I didn't know it was Rob Zombie.
Because his missus plays, what's her name? What's his wife's name?
Lily.
Lily. Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
Lily.
It looked like a sort of a fan film. It looked dire. But that's IMDb gave it. Four and a half. I was trying to find a.
This is out of 10.
Rotten Tomatoes thing.
This out of 10.
Yeah.
Ugh. That looks really bad. I've never watched it, so I can't comment.
So the originals have got 83% and 90% because they are really kind of cool.
Yeah, yeah.
I do remember watching them as a kid.
I used to watch it all of the time. My granddad used to watch the Munsters, like MASH and all that kind of stuff. And for a long time, I couldn't tell you what was the Munsters and what was the Addams Family, because I was like, it's the same fucking thing,
basically the same thing.
You just swapped out the type of monsters that they are.
The new one has got 53 and 35. Oof. So poo,
not great, but I see what you mean. I think he would make a good, not necessarily
with
that
the,
character
if you got the,
but...
Well, even just in sort of like a Phil, just sort of like, you know, he's kind of quirky and silly. But you put the big head on him in the green paint, I reckon he'd nail it.
As far as they haven't done an Addams Family or Munsters episode of like a Halloween one.
Well, they usually do. Those are the ones that I'm not super keen on because, again, it's sort of like it all feels so real. But then it's just like, it's Claire, and then it's like a hand that comes out of it, and all the children scream and run away, and it's just like, fuck off. Like, kids these days, you see a bit of fake blood, you know that it's not real. Like, they're
especially
way
on
too
Halloween.
Tough for that. Yeah.
If it was just if it was just Wednesday.
Do it at a like, parent-teacher conference.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Then you're going to freak out, but it's like when people, like, I don't get why people do April Fool's pranks, because it's April 1st. I know you're going to pull a prank, so I'm not going to be surprised.
Mm. It depends, though. Like, usually whenever someone gets me, like, first thing in the morning. Like, so if I saw that Nintendo Virtual Boy thing, like, if I woke up and I was on Instagram, it's like, Virtual Boy 2, or Virtual Boy for the Switch, I'd be like, what? Fucking hell, why would you do that? It wouldn't click until my brain started properly. And some people, Callum, are just stupid.
They are. I mean, to be honest, in all fairness, like, that's a perfect example of it because of how well it was put together. It wasn't just some rando shouting out on the street, but I've gone on Instagram or whatever and I'm like, huh, and I saw it and I've literally gone, that's April 1st today. and obviously everything else, but I feel it's pointless now. It's better in the old days where you'd get Nintendo Power magazine and it'd be like, this is how you unlock Luigi in Super Mario 64.
Because there's no way of checking
as
to whether that's true. And when you went to school and was just like, oh, I've got this thing, and you'd get someone who'd just go, yeah.
I've done it. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I had a mate whose uncle had a chip that let his Dreamcast play PlayStation 2 games. I'm like, it's different architecture, mate. Like, that's not how it works. He goes, no, he's definitely done it. Sure he has.
Yeah. What are you going to do? Check on the internet?
I mean, to be fair, the internet existed then. I just didn't have it. But I could have used my Dreamcast to have to go on the web. But that was the beauty of not having access to that sort of stuff. Like, you do that now, and while they're talking, you just go, nah, you're lying. Right. But you can't do that anymore. And that was where the beauty of April Fool's stuff was for me.
I'd say that if you did it as a like part of a block release, so if you said, we're doing a Virtual Boy for the Switch, we're doing Animal Crossing 3, and we're doing
Luigi's Mansion 4.
New batch. Yeah, and you're going, so one of them's not real, or all of them aren't real.
Yeah.
Or all of them are real, and that's the, like, that would get you every time then, because then you'd have to find confirmation one way or the other.
Or it'd be like you'd have all these different ones, because loads of people could do stuff like that where you go, oh, we're going to do a new season of Firefly, and then there's a fucking riot because it's an April Fool's. But like, that'd be more entertaining for me personally. Like, there's loads of shit game ones that come up every year, but I think you could have some fun ones. But I just don't see the point, especially someone you, because by the time it's seeped into your brain, it's past 12 o'clock, so the pranks have stopped. And then you're going, wait a minute, it's April 1st today. I'm not going to believe anything.
Yeah, I don't know, because, I mean, like, when I'm at work and stuff like that, I'm so distracted with work stuff that you could tell me literally anything.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, fucking hell, no way. Like, that, when company, what was it, content wars or whatever it's called, this content thing that you was
content warning,
if you did said that, if you sent that to me, it's like, oh, this thing's free, and you sent that to me on April 1st, I wouldn't have checked and gone, oh, fuck off. April Fools. I wouldn't have,
I'm gonna open this link and it's gonna steal all my bank details.
I just went, oh cool, I'll have a look when I get back, because I wouldn't be thinking, wait a minute, what's he up to?
I mean, that seems like a really lame prank that I would pull on you. Look, this game's free, and then you open up and go, hey, snarker. Ah, hey, bro.
Gotcha.
You got to pay £25.
It's like, no.
Did you buy it? No. Oh, prank didn't work then. But they say that there's a lot of funny things that can be done, but for the best one this year was the Nintendo one, and it wasn't one where I've gone, oh, I wish that was real. Just gone, that's a really funny video.
Yeah.
And I think that's the most that they're going to sell with these days. Anyway, I don't know if you've got anything else that you want to ramble on about, Dan, but I'm all out, mate. I've got nothing.
As am I.
If you want to see more things, you can go to the website. Everything's going along the bottom of the screen, but it's podcastversusplayer.com. Thanks, Dan.
Yep.
Thank you. And we'll see you all on the next one. Bye.